Become a partner, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Maloff, and we're going to be talking about his book, A Nation Forsaken. Now, this is probably one of the most important subjects that I know of. And as you know, we talk about all sorts of important subjects, but I really believe that this is vitally important. It's important because it's a very real threat to the very survival of industrial civilization. It's a very real threat to the survival of the United States. Many people in Washington, D.C. know exactly the things we're talking about, and yet the average American has little, if any, understanding of the very real threat that we face today. And we have, in, as far as I know, no protection against that. Now, basically, of course, we're talking about the threat of an EMP attack. Our guest this evening spent 30 years with the Defense Department. For many years, he was a senior advisor reporting directly to our policy advisor, reporting directly to the Undersecretary of Defense at the present time. He is retired. He's working for our good friend Joseph Farah as a reporter for the WorldNet Daily. But his book is must reading. We're going to be carrying the book, A Nation Forsaken. Michael, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And we had Michael again on our afternoon program, but of course, this is an entirely different audience, so I don't hesitate at all to repeat some of the things you said before. Mm-hmm. Why don't you pick up the story? Why certainly is there a threat from an EMP attack, and why is nothing being done to protect the lives of the American people? Because certainly it's been said that if this should occur within 6 months to a year, we could lose 90% of our population. You pick up the story.
Well, an electromagnetic pulse is something that's just, which has been very much overlooked by the federal government, even though it's been known about for quite a number of years. An electromagnetic pulse is basically a high-intensity burst of electromagnetic energy, and this is caused by a very rapid acceleration of charged particles that can be so supercharged that they can knock out or completely fry any of our unprotected electronics or electrical systems. Now, the problem is that the United States is very technology-based as a society, highly dependent on electric power, electronics, telecommunications, our information networks, an extensive set of financial and transportation systems, and even though that these are have made us a great industrial power, world power, they could also be our Achilles heel in the event of a electromagnetic pulse event, whether it's natural or man-made. And
Basically, what you're saying is that we could lose our industrial development position in the world simply, really, almost overnight if one of these things were to occur, because it would wipe out our entire electronic grid. Would that be a fair assessment?
It could. It could knock out pretty much of it, depending upon how it was hit and how we were hit. And I'm afraid that it would have a catastrophic event for many, many years because we are largely unprotected and have not gone through that, gone to the trouble of protecting ourselves.
But it wouldn't be that much trouble. I mean, after all, Congress had appropriated, at least the House of Representatives had appropriated the funds a number of years ago. And the amazing thing is, nothing has happened. We'll be back with this amazing story.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, what we were talking about is certainly either a solar flare, a massive solar flare from the sun, which would have a devastating effect and simply wipe out a good part of our electronic grid and our communications, electronic communications, or certainly an attack, an electromagnetic pulse attack, which would come from exploding bombs up in the stratosphere a couple hundred miles above our country, and three or four or five well-placed nuclear explosions occurring simultaneously would simply push America back to the 100 years, to the pre-industrial situation before we had widespread use of electronics in America. And certainly what Michael is saying is that both Russia and China are making preparations to protect their populations, because we're talking about devastating loss of human life. We're talking about certainly tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people perishing. Russia and China are preparing and making preparations to protect their population, and yet nothing is being done in the United States. And, Michael, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I would agree. I think it's because we're lulled into complacency. Those countries, as you well know, have experienced war on their soil, and the United States has not, at least in our lifetime. And they are keenly aware of what the impact would be. They still have national defense shelters, and we got rid of ours long ago. And but I think that those shelters really are essential because for the storage of food, the storage of water, because those basic essentials, the delivery of those basic essentials would be affected as some of the critical infrastructures of our country could be absolutely devastated by an EMP event.
Well, could you explain to our listeners what EMP would do? How would it affect the grid? How would it affect the communications as far as phones, cell phones? How would it affect transportation? How would it affect the availability of food and water and the other things which are so essential to the existence of the civilization we live in?
Well, the underlying basis of all of our critical infrastructures is the electrical grid. Our telecommunications, our banking and finance systems, our petroleum and natural gas, our transportation, food and water delivery, everything, including emergency services and our space system, all of these have been identified by experts as our critical infrastructures that make up our modern society. And they are all interrelated. They are interconnected. And if one of these critical infrastructures goes down, such as the grid, it affects all of them. There would be a cascading effect. And the concern is that they because of that interrelationship and our high dependency on it, it would have that impact on us. For example, we rely on the grid for everything. That grid goes down, nothing else is going to work. Our telecommunications won't work. Our banking and finance, and also underlying all this are automated control systems. They're all automated, and they all work on transistors, but they all still rely on that grid system. And the grid system is highly vulnerable. Because it's older, it's antiquated, it's just been jerry-rigged, it's been more and more demands have been put on it as we've become more electronically sophisticated, and we have not really gone to the trouble of upgrading it, hardening it, and making sure that it can be protected from an event such as a solar flare or, heaven forbid, a nuclear blast at a higher altitude.
Well, now, basically, of course, what would happen is the transformers would burn out. What about the generators? What about certainly the other electronic devices that are there that certainly are vital to its function? Certainly, would the transformers be burnt out? And what would happen if the transformers were burnt out all across America?
Well, the larger transformers would be. These transformers are what relay the electricity from one end of country to the other. Some of these are massive, very large. There are smaller ones that bring it down to large tens of hundreds of thousands of volts down to the volts just to go into the household. Some smaller transformers are made in the United States, but your larger ones, you're much more the ones that really convey this electricity across the country are no longer made in the United States.
Used to be made in the United States. Now they're made in China. Is that the case?
Yeah, they're made in China, and I believe there's some made by a German company.
My understanding is basically, of course, that China is actually laying in some of these transformers. They want those available if there is a problem, and we're not doing what's logical to protect our grid, which, of course, as we've said before, just doesn't make sense. So basically, how much of the grid could go down in case of, say, a couple of well-placed explosions on the East Coast, the West Coast, and then, of course, over the central part of our country?
I would say that a large part could, depending upon how they were placed. If a one megaton bomb were exploded over Kansas, it could affect pretty much almost coast to coast. It would be that devastating because of that pulse. And that pulse from a high-altitude bomb is considered to be the most intense. It's even more intense than a lightning strike or even from the flares. But it encompasses the impact that you would have from a solar flare or from a lightning strike because it is just so overwhelming.
But in your book, you talk about the fact that many of the other countries in the world are actually planning on how they would carry out an EMP attack, not only to defend themselves, but how they would carry out an EMP attack on America. And you mentioned China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and Venezuela and Pakistan. But all of these are at least considered. What about India? I think, as I recall, you mentioned India. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that all of these countries have been considering at least the possibility of how they would launch an EMP attack on another nation, presumably or possibly America. Is that really true?
Well, yes. They have developed that capability, and depending upon the politics that's in the world at any given moment, anybody could, any country with a delivery system and a missile could do something like that. Also, you have the prospect of proxies, terrorist proxies, from state sponsors of terrorism.
We wouldn't even necessarily know who set off this, that they came off of a tramp freighter or something on the East Coast, and certainly those freighters could be immediately sunk. We would have no idea who launched the attack at us, and yet, of course, it would devastate America. And right now, I mean, you're reading this in articles as today, where, now I don't know whether there's any truth to it or not, but the United States and Israel were planning on launching an attack on Iran to wipe out their nuclear facilities. I mean, if we were to do something like that, would there be any reason why Japan should, pardon me, why Iran would not retaliate against America? And apparently, don't they actually have sophisticated missiles? Haven't they actually practiced this in the Crimea, certainly in the Caspian Sea or elsewhere, setting off these sophisticated, at least their satellites getting up into the high stratosphere as they would need to attack America?
Yes, they have. There's information to that effect that they've actually launched successfully a missile from the deck of a ship. That requires a certain type of technology to do that.
And they've actually done that. And of course,
yes, they have.
Back in 1993, when I was first getting started doing our program, I actually talked to a young man who was the science advisor for the Republicans, Congress, members of the House of Representatives. And he told me at that time on one of our programs that at that time, this was 1993, probably 1994, that Iran had a couple of nuclear bombs that actually bought on the open market. Are you in a position to comment on that?
I don't believe that they have the bombs themselves. They did get miniaturized plans to miniaturize a nuclear weapon. They got it from Pakistan. And the concern is, of course, that they're entering into a nuclear development program that could easily turn into a nuclear weapon development program. The same for North Korea. North Korea is probably further along than Iran is, and they too had received similar plans to make Yukons out of Pakistan.
But certainly Pakistan has the weapons. Would Pakistan possibly be willing to sell a weapon to Iran? After all, we're going into Pakistan now. We're sending our drones in. We're killing Pakistan's civilians. I don't know how many hundreds of Pakistani civilians we've killed over there with our drones. I don't think we're getting any friends over there in Pakistan. Are you concerned about the drone attacks in the name of killing terrorists that end up killing innocent civilians? And certainly, is there a possibility of a blowback to what we're doing, slaughtering people in Pakistan?
Well, I think the blowback is very real. They have resented us in doing that, and they are, they have some 32 transnational terrorist groups, and I'm very concerned about that effect, that they could do some form of retaliation.
They actually have nuclear weapons. They wouldn't have to use them. They'd let somebody else use them. It's pretty hard to actually track a nuclear weapon when it Well, I'm sure we were doing everything we can to track them. Well, I guess this is Michael Maloff, and we're talking about this very real threat of an EMP attack on America. And some people say it's not a matter of if, but when. Is there any truth to that sort of an analysis?
Oh, yeah. It's whether it's an attack from a nuclear weapon or particularly from the sun. I think the sun is certainly...
Hold that thought.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try Propax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Michael Maloff. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Maloff.
Maloof, Michael Maloof. Well, basically, of course, Michael was just saying that in case of an EMP attack, the biggest problem would be, as far as anything electronic, we wouldn't be able to get our fuel out of the fuel tanks that pump it out electronically. We wouldn't be able to have our water in many of our cities. We wouldn't have delivery systems. The whole availability of food in the major cities would begin to break down. Now, we don't know whether the trucks would run. Some of them would, maybe some of them wouldn't, but you have to get fuel for them. And the whole system of delivery of fuel, delivery of food, delivery of the essentials of life in the major populated areas would simply become chaotic. But ordinarily, of course, you see this with a storm. The storm leaves, and then, of course, we can begin to replenish the food supplies. But how long would it take to begin to replenish the supplies after an EMP attack?
Well, that's the concern. It would, if NASA is saying just from a direct solar flare hit, it could cost the country upwards of $2 trillion the first year. It would affect more than 130 million lives, and it would take anywhere from 4 to 10 years to recover. And that's pretty devastating.
Well, because we'd have to get the generators then from China, from communist China.
Well, again, if Earth had a direct hit from a solar flare, I think all countries would be affected. We would be just standing in line like anybody else. It would certainly alter this country's way of life and its ability to function as it used to know it.
Well, now, how would the military function, though? Would the military be able to maintain its control throughout so much of the world? And certainly would the military be able to continue functioning here in the United States and protect us?
Well, the military relies 99% on our national grid system, and there's some very strong concerns about that. This is what I point out in the book, that the Department of Homeland Security does not regard EMP as one of its 15 national planning scenarios, which kick into effect should there be any catastrophic event.
But shouldn't they consider that? Certainly, Congress certainly thought it was very much of a problem. And I've read the 2004 Congressional Commission report. In fact, we offer that to our ministry if you can't pull it down off the internet. I think it's vitally important to read these Congressional Commission reports and see what they found when they studied these things. Totally blacked out by the media, hardly any mention at all. So the average individual in America has very little understanding. The people in Russia and China know, because, of course, they're making preparations. And we're not making any preparations, and I've said before, it doesn't make sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, certainly, what did Congress do? They had a 2004 commission. They had a 2008 commission. Congress has had legislation before them on several occasions. On one occasion, didn't they vote to make preparations to protect the American people from the devastation that would result from an EMP attack?
Well, there have been numerous. The Shield Act has been introduced in the past two Congresses, I believe, and it's failed both times. It never got through the committee, the full Energy Committee. There was never any comparable bill introduced in the Senate, even though you had certain individuals really pressing hard for it. Now, my understanding is going to be reintroduced again by Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona.
But now, at one time, didn't both didn't Congress vote to do something, and then it never got the Senate, didn't get through the Senate, but didn't at one time the House of Representatives vote to do something?
Well, they voted to at least have a commission to study the issue, and that's about as far as it went. And they've held some congressional hearings, but that's as far as it's gone. And you've had principal agencies like Department of Defense, Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, testifying that they're very aware of what the impact of an EMP is, but really cannot tell Congress what they could or would do in the event of such an attack. And unfortunately, the Department of Defense cannot order the Department of Homeland Security to harden to direct them to harden these sites, harden the electrical grid upon which they depend about 99%. And that's a real serious breakdown right there.
And basically what you're basically saying is basically the American military in the United States is 99% certainly dependent upon the transportation and communications networks here, so it would be wiped out should an EMP attack occur. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would be. It would be dramatically affected.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Michael Maloof. We're talking about his book. It's called A Nation Forsaken. And basically, of course, Mr. Maloof has been with the Defense Department for some 30 years. He's retired now. He's doing everything he can to get people to recognize this is a problem. And I remember one of the quotations in your book, I think I could be mistaken, but there was an admiral or a general who actually testified before one of the commissions and said it's not a matter of when we have or if we're going to have an EMP attack, is when it's going to occur.
Correct.
Is that, and who was that who made that statement?
That was General Schweitzer. He's now deceased. But this shows you that his congressional testimony went back to the late 90s, and he was warning about it then, especially with the including radio frequency weapons, all of which emit a radiomagnetic energy. And he warned about this, and the committees were very, very aware of it at back in the late 90s. And I think his testimony was in 1998. So it's not unknown to the Congress.
Well, I know that I've talked to a half a dozen people from Washington, D.C., who are certainly seem to be very knowledgeable, and they seem to be frightened to death. I know one of a very good friend of mine who lives in Washington, D.C., has held key positions in government, and basically he has a refuge for himself and his family, certainly in one of the Carolinas, North Carolina, because he is really concerned that this is a very real threat, and certainly people living in the densely populated areas, there would be total chaos if this were to happen and the grid was to go down and communications were to go down and food and water were going to go down. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with that. I would underscore that concern. And we've seen what the impact has been for a few hours, a few day blackouts up in the New York, in the Northeast area, and especially in New York City. The place just goes totally dark, and it happened here just a few years ago, and by an incident that occurred in Ohio, I believe it was, and they had to do their investigation and trace it, but that whole area was just completely knocked out. People were walking across the bridges; they weren't driving because there was no ability to move vehicles or anything of the sort. Now, they were not paralyzed, but all the traffic lights went out. All the lights went out, and people really had a very difficult time getting about. And of course, then there would be sheer panic to pick up food and other provisions for basic survival purposes.
And we're not talking about suddenly this happening for a few days or even a week. We're talking about this taking years to actually suddenly repair the damage that was done, because we do not have the transformers here. And basically, of course, the whole structure of society would break down. At least this is what the congressional commissions say, and you need to read those reports, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Michael Maloof, why give us a call. We are going to carry his book. It's called A Nation Forsaken. We have a talk actually given by our good friend, Ambassador Henry Cooper, former American representative to the disarmament negotiations with the Soviets. And this is a talk he gave here in October of last year on the threat of an EMP attack. It's a vitally important EMP. We're actually carrying carrying the 2004 Congressional Commission report. It's about 95 pages. You can get it on the internet, but if you don't want to, we actually have taken it, we've printed and bound it. We think it's important. You need to know what the experts are saying, because you're never going to read about it in what I refer to as the controlled media. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I'm talking about the end of America as we know it, at least for a decade, up to a decade. Well, before we go on, Michael, do you have a website, any site people should be going to get additional information on this story?
Well, the book itself, well, we do carry numerous stories on this issue on on WND.com. We have, and of course, the book is available through Amazon.com and through WND.com. And I understand it's getting into bookstores now. It just came out January the 3rd. But on the WND website, we are carrying periodic stories on this issue, and trying to keep people updated on what is going on with the sun and the flares that are occurring. This latest sunspot that has come around, facing Earth more and more now, is considered to be so large. It's said to be the diameter of 14 Earths, and that's the length of it, and that's on the sun right now. And that thing is spewing out these flares, and if we're getting more and more in alignment with Earth, then I think that's what NASA is really very concerned about.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, we have no way of knowing when there would be a major one. But when suddenly are these, this is basically, there'd be a massive EMP wave come and hit the Earth. Is this what you're suggesting?
It could. And then again, NASA is warning about it. And the way these flares are ripping off the sun's surface, they go on out into space. But the likelihood of us being in direct alignment now is becoming greater now that we're positioned, the Earth is now positioned more straight on, if you will, with this one major sun's about to emitting these flares.
Well, now, what would you tell? We have an audience of thousands of people all across America listening to this program. What should they do? Should they simply get a book? Should they read it? Should they talk about it? Should they begin making preparations? What they would do if they're living in the major cities and thinking about how they would get out of the cities if they're not living in a major city? But if suddenly they would certainly want to think about survival because, of course, before long there'd be no food in the stores. What do you tell people to do to make preparations for what you feel and what I feel is a very real problem?
Well, in the book, I go into that into some depth on what people can do individually for their families and also what can be done at the local level, because I think you can basically dismiss any direct action from the federal government in any near-term basis. And they have not prepared the nation, as we have seen, just in trying to meet natural disasters and making sure that food and deliveries of food and water are available. And that assumes, and these were done without an EMP, but when they were where they could bring things from other parts of the country. But if we have a direct EMP impact, everybody would be affected. There would be no way that one part of the country could escape this without having an impact on the other. And the availability of food and water is going to be very, very critical. And also the delivery of those systems. Now, you can just forget about money because banking systems all have electronic means of determining your accounts, and your ability to get the money would be no longer available because of control systems and the electronics would not be functioning. Unless the industries harden their facilities, all these electronics are going to be able to go down because of this tremendous pulse that could result from from the sun or from a flare, from a high altitude nuclear explosion, and we're not prepared for it.
Well, what about the military overseas? Are they prepared for this? Do they have alternative means of suddenly to protect our ships and protect our forces in other countries?
Well, some of the ships and our aircraft are getting more radiation-hardened chips in their electronics, but the bases are not there. We have over a dozen, maybe two dozen bases just in the European Middle Eastern region, and they're not protected. So if India or Pakistan got into it, there's going to be a residual effect, especially if they start using nuclear weapons, and there's going to be an impact. A pulse from any nuclear explosion is going to be felt in the vicinity, and I know the Israelis have discussed this as a potential approach toward dealing with Iran. It would knock out much of the electrical grid and electricity from the Middle East into Europe. And even though the Israelis claim that they can be back online within 3 days, so it would affect any of our bases there because we're not making the same preparations for our facilities.
What you're saying is that Israel is preparing so that they would be able to take care of this, and America is not preparing, and we would not be able to be back up in line. Is that, in essence, what you're suggesting?
Yeah. That's precisely it. It's, we're because we're so removed from all the other countries, we probably feel that we would not be affected, but we could be affected. Certainly our bases overseas would be affected. And if we had a direct flare hit, everybody's going to be affected. The whole earth could be affected, and other countries would be less affected than others because of their reliance on the grid system. The United States is probably the one country that has the greatest reliance and on the grid, on its electrical grid system, but it also constitutes its greatest vulnerability.
Well, basically, it was certainly what this would has potential to destroy industrialized civilization, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, as we know it right now. It would set us way back at least a generation.
It would set us way back for a generation. That's a frightening thought.
No, I think it would take a generation to recover, at least a generation to recover, and it actually would send us back to the 19th century. That's what I meant to say.
Well, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But I think this is a vitally important subject, and this is a fascinating, fascinating book, and that's why we're going to carry it. We think everybody needs to read this and get the information out as far and wide as you can. Certainly, your book's only been available now for just a few weeks. We got one of the first copies of it, I think, and we're so pleased that Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, is putting information out. Incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience, you need to read WorldNet Daily on a regular basis. Joseph Farah certainly is one of the most courageous publishers, certainly editors in the country, is a personal friend. He's put out thousands and thousands of copies of my book through his organization. We appreciate that. But he is well aware of this very, very real danger. But the problem is, nobody's talking about it other than the WorldNet Daily. I have rarely see any mention of this in the regular media or certainly through regular radio and television programs. What sort of response are you getting? I know you're probably trying to get on radio programs and getting your information out. Are you having pretty good success?
Well, yeah, I've had quite a number of interviews. but the regular media will maybe talk about a solar flare event, but they don't give what the implication of that is going to be. They don't talk about the impact. They talk about how beautiful the aurora borealis are, but they don't go into this problem of what would happen if we had a direct impact from a solar flare. And that's where they're remiss. And I think part of the problem is that the regular media has become duped by some of the propaganda of the more liberal types that feel, oh, if you're talking about EMP, you really that's really masquerading for an approach of wanting to create more of an anti-ballistic missile system. Well, you know, that's part of it. You need that, and we're not at, and we're not prepared. But it's not. But EMP by itself has its own issues. It's an apolitical issue. It's not. It transcends politics, particularly because of its of the impact it would have on lives. There have been episodes when in the past, back in 1989 in Quebec, for example, where it knocked out the hydroelectric plant, where a solar flare knocked out the hydroelectric plant, and it affected 6 million people for weeks. And it could have cascaded on down into the entire U.S. East Coast if it weren't for some capacitors in Allegheny, an Allegheny power station that stopped that pulse.
And I think people have to understand how the grid works. Could you sort of explain it to them? Isn't the grid pretty interconnected all over the country? And basically, certainly if you had one of these things that happened, say in the Northeast, it could affect certainly the southern part of the United States?
Oh, sure. There have been instances where a squirrel got fried on a line and it knocked out some power I think it occurred in Ohio and knocked out the power grid in the Northeast for a time. And that was just by one little episode.
But the thing is that this should be fairly easy to repair. Certainly, they should be able to take care of that if it was just a localized area. But if it certainly would destroy a number of these major transformers, and how many are there? Something like 2,000 of these major transformers in the country?
Yeah, probably less than that in terms of the larger ones. But you have over 2,000 of the smaller ones. They would certainly be affected. The larger ones would be, as NASA says, some 350 of them could be knocked out, and it would take years to replace those. Years, and because of they have to be specially designed for that particular area, and it takes 3 years in a good period for delivery of them once you put the order in. And so they don't keep them in stock. They don't keep spares of the big ones in stock.
And, of course, we'd have to get them from Communist China. Nobody ever refers to it as Communist China today. We're not supposed to. That's not politically correct. But I like to refer to it as Communist China. And basically, of course, but certainly if this was an EMP attack, why they'd be having to save the Transformers for their own country. Wouldn't that be a fair estimate, an analysis?
Oh, sure, they would. They've been making for their own country. But again, in the more rural areas of China, they don't have that great dependency. In the cities, they would, yeah.
But you are very, very concerned that this is a very real threat. And certainly after 30 years in the Defense Department, you should have a pretty good analysis or understanding what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I feel that this, for the United States, it would be a catastrophic. Okay. And that's what the book basically says.
And basically, I agree with that, ladies and gentlemen. The book is A Nation Forsaken. You can get it from Radio Liberty. We'll be back in a moment right here at Radio Liberty.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try ProPax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today. From the
It's been a real pleasure.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our guest has been Michael Malouf, and I hope you enjoyed the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is a vitally important program. Michael, good night, and God bless.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I really am very, very concerned about this. I wouldn't have had Michael on, and certainly if we wouldn't not be carrying his book if we didn't think it was vitally important, the book, A Nation Forsaken. We have a DVD. It's with Ambassador Henry Cooper. It's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. We are actually offering at the present time the 2004 Congressional Commission Report. We've put it together in nice binding. You can get it on the Internet. It's about 100 pages, or you can get it from us. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to get this, you need to read this, you need to start making your preparations, and you need to start talking about this. Because, of course, basically this evening I was reading Glenn Beck's book, and then on Agenda 21. Excellent, we're going to be carrying that book as well. But basically at one point he quoted a man named Maurice Strong, a multi-billionaire, a part of this whole effort, the world occult movement. Mr. Strong is deeply involved in the occult, but basically many years ago he was talking to a reporter and he made the statement that certainly the earth would not survive unless there was a complete collapse of industrialized civilization. His wording was the only way to save the earth is to collapse industrialized civilization. The only way to save the earth is to collapse industrialized civilization. Who in their right mind would want to destroy, collapse industrialized civilization? One of these people deeply involved in the occult, and basically this is what people don't want to talk about, and you're never going to hear this sort of thing discussed on regular radio. This is why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read it, and certainly that you lend it or to give it to others. If you're in a position to buy a case of the books, why, of course, we want to get it reprinted. And we're about a quarter of the way towards having enough people so that we can get the book reprinted. You can get a case at $64 for $150. Plus, we throw in a free DVD or 4-CD set to help you defray the postage. But basically, you can give the books away. You can sell the books. You can lend the books. But it will touch people's lives. And if you are in a position, of course, to get a case of the books, why, please do. And, of course, if you're in a position to support Radio Liberty, we'd appreciate hearing from you. And if you're not, and we understand many people are having real financial problems today, then we simply ask you to pray for My Minute Attack, the Congressional Report, the 2004 Congressional Commission Report on the Threat of an EMP Attack. And then we have another Agenda 21. It's a talk given by Michael Shaw. And they're both available by calling our 800 number. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, that many of you out there will get my talk on population control, the COVID agenda. Why? Because they want to kill off most of the people on the earth. You say that's crazy. Well, if you haven't read Population Control Agenda Monograph, it's up on the Internet, Population Control Agenda. Type it in and read it and weep. You Population Control Agenda, you can put my name there, you'll get it for sure, but you can read it, or if you send things we're offering to people. They're killing millions of people every day, and they intend to kill off 95% or 90% of the world's remaining population. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can hear our radio programs net 24 hours a day. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be Dane Wigginton, and we're going to be talking about geoengineering. Dane, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Stan. Thank you very much for addressing this dire issue.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you pick up the story and just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in geoengineering and why we should be concerned about it.
It was not something I engaged in by choice. I'm a non-political person and not an activist, but I have a background with energy. I'm a former Bechtel Power employee. I know that's a bit of a four-letter word now. I moved to Northern California to try to find clean air. I had the world's largest renewable magazine. It's fully off-grid. When I began to lose 50, 60, sometimes 70, and 80% of my solar power uptake from wind overhead, I knew something was wrong and quickly came on the subject, Stan, of geoengineering, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, which are global climate modification programs. And it's been, my life has been on hold since, just doing research and trying to get the word out on this issue, Stan.
Well, how long have you been involved in researching this?
A bit over a decade.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, that gives you the right to discuss it and test it intelligently. But, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, certainly. I mean, we all see these contrails up in the sky, and certainly that's just planes going overhead and people saying that they're spraying and that they're altering our atmosphere and they're putting things in the atmosphere that are bad for us and changing the weather. It sounded so preposterous until, of course, I began evaluating and studying it like you have. I'm sure I don't know as much as you do about it, but there is no question. Yes, there are contrails up there, but there are chemtrails up there, and what people never talk about is what there is in the jet fuel that is harmful to us. But you go ahead and pick up the story, Dane.
Yes, you know, first, as you were skeptical, I also was. I'd heard about this a couple of years prior to actually experiencing it. So I also was skeptical. On a condensation trail, a naturally occurring vapor trail, Stan, should be extremely short-lived, a few seconds. In fact, according to NOAA's original data on that, that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, conditions required for a naturally occurring trail, 70 below zero, 70% humidity for a very, very brief, few-second-long trail. And I point this out to people. When you're walking down the street and you're exhaling and leaving on a cold day, leaving a fog from your breath, you don't walk down the street and see a trail hanging there for a mile behind you. And the same is true if it was a condensation trail. It would have to have a constant source of that emission in order to keep producing that trail. It doesn't, would never spread across the whole sky as we see happening with the what people term chemtrails, which is in fact a particulate trail. And this is not, according to all the data we have, it is not something added to the fuel. This is a much, much bigger disbursement, which is an actual payload sprayed disbursement. We're talking about, according to the geoengineers themselves, tens of millions of tons annually.
Of course, there is certainly elements where they actually are spraying. What about the jets? Certainly, the jets. Is there anything in the jet fuel that would produce this problem, or is this all certainly in those instances where they're actually spraying?
Well, certainly, the combustion of jet fuel is a problem in and of itself, but all available data indicates we're talking about payload disbursements, so we're talking about quantities that are very, very significant.
In other words, basically, I think what we need to point out is we have several issues here. We have contrails, which, of course, have particulate matter, which is unhealthy, and actually there's aluminum in jet fuel, which nobody will tell you. But then, of course, we have the chemtrails, where they actually are spraying. We'll be back in a moment. All right, Dane, go right ahead. So basically now, who is doing the spraying? How is it done, and why is it being done?
As far as the who, Stan, you know, we can only isolate that down so far, but it certainly is clear all the NATO countries are involved in this issue, and it appears there are competing powers involved now also, Russia and China. China was quite open with their weather modification programs until their artificial ice-nucleated snowstorms over Beijing caused $1 billion worth of damage, and they have gone a bit into the shadows since then. But there has been collaboration between competing nations going back decades, in fact, clear into the Cold War, Stan. We just recently found some documentation that showed Russian weather modification scientists touring the U.S. weather modification facilities as far back as 1968 at the height of the Cold War. So there has been nationwide, competing nation collaboration on this, and these programs appear to be about 6 decades old. And now we think that there's actually a tug-of-war of the atmosphere, a weather warfare scenario shaping up between Russia, China on one end, and the Western powers on another. And there appears to be enough data to back that up.
Well, basically, why are they spraying?
There appears to be very many layers to that question. The stated purpose on multiple geoengineering patents is to slow the progression of climate change. Now, this is a real paradox, because geoengineering can and does, the science backs this up, create large-scale cooling on a temporary basis at the cost of a worsened overall warming. And on our website, geoengineeringwatch.org, we've just posted an article that has links to NASA's own studies that verify that these aircraft trails, which we know the lingering ones to be particulate trails, are actually causing overall global warming. And this would be expected, because they shred the ozone layer, they trap more heat than they deflect. And so, yes, they can block the sun, which is the stated purpose in the patents, and cool regional areas, and they can ice nucleate storms to create artificial ice nucleation. There's patents to back that up. Cools down regions temporarily, but at the cost of a worsened overall warming. Strategic purposes. Military document owning the weather. U.S. military document stating the strategic purposes of controlling the weather. Then you have disaster capitalists like Monsanto that seem to be ready and waiting to capitalize off the geoengineered created droughts and the soils that are being sterilized from these toxic particulates.
So what you're suggesting is that there are multiple reasons for what's going on. Would that be a fair assessment?
Very fair, and I would take that further stance.
Hold that thought. We'll be back okay. In just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dane is certainly pointing out that certainly the spraying that's going on is being done very intentionally. It's not just America. Many nations are involved in this and competing in this. And, of course, the spraying, producing a haze in the sky, is promoting a greenhouse effect because, of course, the sun rays, of course, hit the earth, and when they bounce back, they hit this overall layer of particulate matter, and simply the heat is trapped. Now, of course, basically, there are many reasons for this. It has an impact, certainly, on every aspect of our society today. And basically, of course, this can alter the weather. This can certainly alter the crops. And Monsanto is involved in this. And Monsanto, as you know, is involved in all sorts of things. Almost every product that Monsanto has created is designed to damage the health of the people. And whether it be dioxin, whether it be aspartame, they were the ones who developed initially, whether it be PCBs, whether it be certainly Agent Orange, whether it really doesn't matter. There's a whole flock of them. There's about 8 or 10 products that Monsanto has produced, including the new genetically modified foods, which are damaging to our health. And yet this is totally being concealed from the American people, and very few, if any, understand we're dealing with a diabolical corporation that has probably killed countless millions of people with its programs, and the fact you haven't heard of it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But of course, all of this, so much of this ties into altering certainly the climate, and they can actually create storms. They can alter certainly every aspect of our society by altering the weather. Pick this story up there, Dane. And incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. Dane, go right ahead.
Your scenario is quite correct, Stan. I mean, those who control the weather control the world. And I don't know if the control is per se the right word, because it seems to be increasingly out of control, and that's what we would expect You can't hamper with systems that are so incredibly complex without doing horrific damage, and we see that damage occurring. For those that are starting to wonder about the weather, and I know many are now because we see swings, for example, Atlanta, Georgia, I believe 2 days ago was 85 degrees. Snow is forecast for tomorrow for the same region. In Northern California, we had record low temperatures 2 days ago. We hit record highs today. And this is exactly the sort of radical swings that one would expect with geoengineering. As they are damaging the atmosphere, they try to ever increase the size of these programs to cover up the damage they have already done, thus causing ever bigger swings in weather extremes. And we certainly are seeing those extremes. And on this snow, again, this is something it's difficult to get your arms around, that they are artificially nucleating snowstorms. What that means is that as the moisture comes in, it is chemically sprayed from above, and there are patents for this. We have two patents, one from NASA and one from, I believe, Raytheon, and the Chinese openly admitted they were doing this, but this causes what should have been a rainstorm to turn to a snowstorm. Snowflakes can start falling. It snowed yesterday in Montana at 40 degrees, other locations at 45. It's snowing on the East Coast tomorrow at 40 degrees.
And I think people have to understand that years past, of course, that this was great for the ski resorts up in the Sierras, and they would actually pay, and you could actually hire people to change the weather. And well, if a ski resort, of course, has to have snow and it weren't getting snow, they would actually go out and hire people to actually do the spraying and create the snowstorms. And they did this commercially so they would have clients going up there. But of course, when you do that, why? Because you take the water out of the atmosphere, and so you don't then get water to water our crops, and you get a drought over in the central part of the United States. Is that really what's going on, Dane?
That's exactly correct. And in comparison with the programs you mentioned, and those programs are absolutely real, but now the programs that are going on are so exponentially larger than those private operations that have been and still are going on, that they basically supersede any other effort to modify the weather, and now the impact they're having is so cataclysmic that there is really almost no natural weather at this point. And the problem with the nucleated storms, our forest up here from a storm that came in December 21st, our Northern California forest stand looks like a tornado went through. I mean, it uprooted trees, branches broken everywhere, and this is from a 15-inch snow that should have done no damage in a forest that's adapted for this. But this snow, when it's artificially ice nucleated, is extremely heavy. It's like concrete, sticks to the trees like glue, and does absolutely horrific damage. And we've tested the snow. We know the particulates are in it. We know the metals, the nucleation elements are in it, same as the patents. So, you know, we're really not guessing. This is going on. We see it on the radar. You can see the snow splash out, or the rain cells splash out snow for no reason at all. We hear the aircraft outside. We've done the lab tests, and again, the snow is completely unnatural, and this is happening almost as a rule now. They're artificially ice nucleating almost everything.
Well, Dane, what chemicals are they putting into the snow?
What we know for sure in large quantities, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese. Researchers from Norway and Germany have recently contacted us at geoengineeringwatch.org, and they've done 60-some-odd lab tests, and they're finding now fluoride in the last 60 tests they took. Now, you know, we're not completely sure of the impacts of the fluoride or the potential goals for that particular metal. Perhaps if we won't drink it in the water, they'll just put it in the rainforest.
But basically, of course, aluminum is a poison. I mean, aluminum decreases fertility. It produces cancer, produces all sorts of enzyme and hormonal upsets in individual. Manganese, you mentioned, is certainly an extremely poisonous metal. And yet you're suggesting they're actually spraying that into the atmosphere. It's coming down in our water, in our snow, and it turns to water. And then we drink that, and we must then be certainly getting a great deal of aluminum in our water.
There is no other possibility. And I have, in fact, been called to a closed-door meeting for the Environmental Waste Department from Northern California to test the Sacramento River, which is the drinking water for Southern California, and they have not allowed any of the tests to be released yet, but they're getting massive spikes of aluminum in the Sacramento River.
Well, are anybody concerned about this in the government? Do they understand what's happening, the implications of this?
They seem to understand, but they are quite simply because they have no First Amendment right. They are afraid to speak out. I personally spoke to NOAA scientists 3 months ago who were, in their words, alarmed as hell, but are afraid to speak on the record right now.
Let me just comment. Of course, we've done a fair amount of research on this. There's a group, of course, of environmentalists who've gone to all of the five major oceans, and they did this over a period of a number of years, to study the whales, to biopsy the whales and see how the whales were doing. And, of course, what they'd do is they'd use some sort of a little dart and to take a little biopsy of the whales. They'd get up close to them, and they'd send something over there on the end of a string, and then they'd pull it back, and that analyzed the fat, the blubber, the whales. What did they find? A 2,000% increase in the aluminum in the blubber of whales. And basically, of course, this is devastating. In fact, they had a hard time finding out what all the other chemicals were in the blubber because of the massive levels of aluminum were poisoning the oceans and our rivers and our atmosphere with aluminum, which is a deadly poison. Doesn't anybody understand the implications, Dane?
One would think that more would understand the gravity of this, Dan. But when you have, for example, internationally recognized geoengineers like David Keith at the first, last, and only conference where they allowed journalists to attend, and this is on film and on the record, where David Keith was cornered and asked the question, has any studies been done with their proposals? Which, you know, they won't admit to doing it, but their proposal is 20 million tons of aluminum in the atmosphere. He tried to avoid the question at first, saying, well, there's a paraphrase, there's a lot of junk in the air anyway, a little more won't hurt. But when pinned down again and asked specifically, had any studies been done, his answer was patently no, nothing. No study, human respiratory, environmental toxicity, nothing. So what sort of a scientist just decides to go ahead and spew this stuff everywhere and not do a single study? And that's the cavalierness which with these people operate.
Well, of course, it's either cavalier or they know exactly what they're doing, and they realize, of course, that they are destroying the very structure of human life here because, of course, they're putting all of these toxic substances into the atmosphere. In fact, we have a little poem in my talk on Agenda 21. You know, they're poisoning the forest and they're poisoning the air. They're poisoning our children, but few people care. They're poisoning the forest. They're poisoning the trees. They're even using insecticides that poison the bees, and goes on simply to point out that there is an organized effort to poison every aspect of society. It's part of population control. People see it so incredible. Nobody in their right mind would do that. And I would agree, nobody in their right mind would. We're not necessarily dealing with people in their right mind. I think most of the people who study this just stretch their heads and say, I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And I used to be one of those. In fact, I got started this back in 1986, studying the AIDS epidemic and the fact that we weren't trying to stop the spread of AIDS using any of the standard public health measures that, of course, we could have stopped the AIDS epidemic. You know, in 1986, we did not. As a result, about 40 million people have died, another 20 or 30 million infected. They're all going to die in Botswana. 46-48% of all the pregnant women, they test every pregnant woman in Botswana and the southern part of Africa when she's before she delivers. 46%, 48% HIV infected, they're all going to die. And after a while, I finally had to come to a conclusion of what was going on. Didn't make any sense unless maybe somebody knew exactly what they were doing. And, of course, that's the basis of my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. If you haven't read it out there in the audience, well worthwhile. I was suddenly reading, except for the one mistake I made, and that is that I did not understand when I wrote it, that AIDS is not simply an accidental disease that came out of nowhere. It said it didn't come from a monkey biting somebody or somebody eating a monkey. This is a man-made disease. We know. How do we know? One of the people who was involved creating the AIDS virus was dying. He went to Dr. Gary Glum, told him the story. The book is told in a book called A Full Disclosure. You can buy a copy for only $80 on Amazon. Only $80. Well, Dane, go right ahead. Are you writing this? Are you putting this all up on the internet? How are you getting the information out?
Our website, again, Stan, is geoengineeringwatch.org, and we try to post every bit of data we can find there. I certainly concur with your take on the conclusion that we are not dealing with sane people. And for those that still question that. You know, I asked them to consider the 1,800-plus nuclear bombs that have been detonated on planet Earth that have put strontium-90 in all of our bones, including those that authorize or orchestrate the detonation of these bombs, blowing up beautiful South Sea islands, contaminating whole regions. You know, there's no sanity in this equation, so that's where people should first start their acceptance of this, that we're not dealing with sanity here. So, and on this issue, as you stated, Stan, I mean, virtually the entire web of life is being affected. The boreal forests, for example, that should be a carbon sink, not a carbon source, because they're being poisoned, because the soils are being sterilized, because bioavailable aluminum is very toxic to organisms. The trees sense this toxin. They shut down nutrient uptake to protect their DNA and die a slow death. And yes, the beetles move in. And yes, you know, that is the scapegoat for most of the USDA scientists, even those that I know. But in fact, there's an underlying cause, which is not being addressed, not being admitted to. So, and you have a bigger part in this equation, Stan, that I think people should understand, that I think, and this will probably help expose geoengineering. Geoengineering alters upper-level wind currents, which then in turn alters ocean currents. Now we have ocean currents delivering warm water to the Arctic. In addition to the ozone hole, the ice cap is imploding. Methane hydrate is releasing from the seafloor, and it is changing the climate by the day. We have satellite methane imagery. It is absolutely flooding the atmosphere, clear into the southern hemisphere. Methane over a 10-year time horizon is 100 times more potent than CO2. And this is not about Al Gore or carbon credit. This is just about reality. I'm not a Gore fan in any sense. You know, he's part of this power structure. But the fact is, these programs have let Pandora out of the box here. And, you know, we have now something that can't be turned off, can't be shut down, and can't be hidden for much longer. And it is changing our biosphere by the day. And all they know how to do is spray more, even though that appears to be the major causal factor for this event in the first place.
Well, is there any sort of an organized effort to expose this geoengineering program, this diabolical geoengineering program that really is going to eventually have a profound impact upon humanity and the human life cycle?
Already having that impact. And it's a very ragtag attempt. I mean, there's very few of us that are really trying to get data out in the front lines. It's increasing by the day, however, because, again, the climate is so far off the rails. The temperature swings now are so extreme. And you know, increasing by the day, they're threatening to fire Canadian scientists that are on this ozone research team if they talk to media. And the lump is simply getting too large to fit under the rug, Stan. So I think that when the dam breaks, because we know academia knows. I mentioned the NOAA scientists. I know USDA scientists that know, California Fish and Game scientists that know, U.S. Forest Service scientists that know. Once there's enough cover, once there's enough public awareness and these people start to come out of the shadows, it's going to be a virtual avalanche of, you know, academics addressing this issue. You know, they all know, but they're simply afraid to speak out.
And what a tragic situation it is when people in academic environment are afraid to tell the truth. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dane Wigginton. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, Dane is talking about how the aluminum in the atmosphere is getting into the trees. It's damaging the roots. The tree begins to shut down, then becomes very susceptible to all sorts of diseases. Are you seeing a lot of increased diseases and death among the trees there in Northern California?
Absolutely epidemic. And again, the most recent figures that I have seen on global species extinction rate, the figures now are between 1,000 times and 10,000 times natural variability. That's between 100,000% and 1,000,000% of normal. And 70 to 80% of these species extinctions, Stan, plant and animal, are fungally related. So yes, we're seeing horrific tree death. In fact, specifically fungal infection with oaks, manzanita, very hardy brush. And you know, it's a very complex situation. Not much study available on the various effects, but the bioavailable aluminum weakening the organism, then sterilizing the soil, which cleans the slate for fungal proliferation. And the forest looks horrible. Absolutely. Many plants aren't even germinating. Those that do germinate won't flower. Those that do flower won't fruit. It's absolutely changing the environment by the day.
And Chris Dane simply talks about the fact how this is actually changing the temperature of the air, changing the temperature of the water, and certainly it's warming up there and at the Arctic Ocean. And basically, of course, there's a release of methane and certainly from the ocean floor. And this is simply having a devastating effect on both plant and animal life. And all of this is changing. You're not hearing about this because people who work certainly in the scientific field are afraid to speak out. Most of them are. Now, the information is there, and certainly it sounds like Dane has a wonderful website. I know our good friend Roslyn Peterson has 40,000 references to scientific and government articles going into the background of geoengineering. The information is there. If you're out there listening audience, do you really care that they're destroying our air? And they're destroying our water, and they're destroying our animals, and they're destroying our forests, and they're destroying every aspect of society. And certainly by putting this material into the air, or then, of course, when you have rain, it comes down, it gets into the certainly into the soil, it gets into the rivers, it gets into the sea, and of course, it's poisoning the whales, as we pointed earlier, with a 2,000% increase in the level of aluminum found in the plumper of whales. And where is the outcry? Well, there's no outcry because people don't believe it. And if they hear it, certainly they're going to say it couldn't be true. Nothing like this could be going on or we would know about it. Don't you think that really is sort of almost an act of denial on people's part because they don't want to believe it, so they don't believe it?
I absolutely think that's a very primal mechanism to filter out what is too scary to face. And I think that's exactly what's going on. And the degree of particulate matter in the sky, Stan, and people should understand, it's not just because you don't see its horizon to horizon trail doesn't mean you're not looking at spray or breathing spray. Unless you see a blue sky and white clouds, you are probably seeing particulate matter. These dirty cobweb-looking clouds, wispy-looking clouds, an overstory that looks dirty above natural cumulus clouds. There is so much particulate matter in the atmosphere right now that global dimming, a term most people are not familiar with, is fully considered to be at least 20%. What that means is that 20% of the sun's direct rays, which used to hit the planet 5 decades ago, no longer do. This is because the planet is basically encased in a cocoon of toxic metal particulates. And so, again, we have no natural weather at this point. That is the degree to which they have saturated the atmosphere. And it is literally ripping the web of life apart, as you mentioned.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is an incredible story, but unfortunately, it is incredibly true. These things are going on. They're not accidental. They're taking place. And the fact that most people don't understand this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think, and ultimately then over what the American people believe. Well, if you have a question on this, Dane is certainly one of the leading people doing the research on this, and it's vitally important that people understand we need people out on the front lines. Of course, well, I can't do this because I have to cover everything from population control to the reason of wars to the Brotherhood of Darkness. Certainly, I spent 10 years working on the AIDS epidemic. And, of course, I eventually realized that it was part of a much bigger issue. I mean, certainly they've only killed 40 million people with it and affect another 30 million or so. But this is simply minuscule compared with what we're up against. They intend to kill off the vast majority of the people in the world. And they're not joking, ladies and gentlemen. They're deadly, deadly serious. scientist, Dan, and right now we have Grant calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Grant. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes.
Do you think this could really be true?
Yes.
I will attest it is true. I just asked that as a rhetorical question, but it is so incredible, and yet it is. It's frightening, but go right ahead.
Yeah. I've got a few comments. I totally agree with, is it Dave, is that correct?
Dane. D-A, is that right, Dane?
D-A-N-E, yes.
Dane, D-A-N-E, right. Go ahead.
I'm a snowboarder, and I spent a lot of time up the mountains, and I've seen up in northern Idaho trees, tamarack trees, pine trees, fir trees, dying by the score. And they're falling over. They're big, huge trees twisting off, not breaking normally. I just noticed a tree in my neighborhood that about a 6-inch diameter branch just fell off. We had some of that heavy snow that you're talking about. And all of our snow now seems to come down in fine particulate form, not those fluffy flakes. The other thing I've noticed in the snow is that the sparkle that comes off the snow has prismatic color to it. So it's evidence of the particulate matter that's in there. The National Weather Service has on their weather channel, they show our primary pollutant as being fine particulate. And that has been on there, well, probably at least 6 months. Yet they define the quality of the air as good.
It's all lies at this point. You know, any statistic is a lie. In fact, in Northern California today, the recorded temperature, for example, was 68 degrees. The temperature on the ground was 75. I mean, there's nothing true in the equation right now. And on the particulate matter, in California, for example, they're trying to force CARB, California Air Quality Resources Board, is trying to force the California farmers to buy new equipment to reduce its diesel particulate matter, when they are turning a blind eye to a source of particulate matter that's from 10 to 100,000 times greater mathematically. So, I mean, yes, this elephant in the room dances about completely unacknowledged by all the major agencies.
Hold the thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Sidney Dane Wigginton, and he's basically talking about what's going on. We had, of course, Grant calling us from Spokane, Washington, talking to Sidney about how, as he goes into Washington, as he goes into northern Idaho, he sees the trees dying, and we've heard this story from a number of people. In fact, we have a number of oak trees around where I live, and it's amazing how many of them have died. Nobody comments on it. Nobody's even seems to pay much attention to the fact. We just hope it's all going to go away, but I don't think it's going to. I think we're going to see the destruction of humanity and of living matter, and they know exactly what they're doing. And that is, of course, why they're replacing all the seeds used by farmers all throughout America. Now, fortunately, they won't allow this over in Europe because they know what's going on, but here in America, certainly so many of our major crops are contaminated with genetically modified food. Seeds. And the reason, of course, they're doing this is to destroy our seed crops. The people who are doing this, however, have something called the Doomsday Seed Bank. It's up about 600 miles from the North Pole. It's under armed guard, a cave and an island, Norwegian island. There they have heirloom seeds. They want them there when they start in all over again. After, I think, what their goal is to destroy humanity, and when that comes about, then they'll start in. And people say, who in their right mind would do that? And the answer is nobody in their right mind. Grant, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Yes. I'm in the health field. I'm a dentist. And one of the things that I've also noticed with my patients in the last year is the change in the saliva, which I think might be related to the Morgellons, which you're probably familiar with. I've found strings of saliva that I could stretch out to 2 to 3 feet from inside the patient's mouth, and normal saliva does not do that. So this somehow having an effect on people.
Grant, do you use mercury fillings?
We do periodically, but these are from people from all backgrounds, both with and without mercury fillings.
Okay, well, I hope you're going to get rid of those mercury fillings because they really aren't safe. And if you need information, I will be glad to provide it for you. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
The other question that Dane might be able to shed some light on, I've been noticing for the last year or so, around from the hours from about 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., right around dinner time, sometimes around noontime, that there's a sulfur smell in the atmosphere. And the problem was, I used to go walking that time, and when that smell was out there, I would come back with a severe headache, and then the muscles on the back of my neck would be sore. And
Dave, do you have any thoughts at all about that?
Now, you know, again, that is what is mentioned in quote-unquote geoengineering proposals, you know, the use of sulfur. And as of yet, it seems the heavy metals have been the material of choice. But at any given moment, we have no idea what they may be dispersing in their ongoing experimentation. So it's quite possible you do smell that.
Grant, basically, of course, it's all top secret and it's all classified. And if you were to put this material out, why, they could put you in prison, because you're not supposed to let the public know the truth. God bless you. Thanks for calling, Grant. Good to hear from you. And before we go on, I want you to go ahead and get your website out once again, Dane, so people would know how to get in touch with you. And if you want to put out a telephone number or anything, let's do it right now before we forget.
Anybody that has any information to pass on can do it at our contact at geoengineeringwatch.org. And again, for people that are trying to disseminate information, trying to raise awareness, it's good to have a source, a site to send people to help raise that awareness. We are completely non-political. It's only on this issue. And Michael Murphy's film also, Why in the World Are They Spraying, at whyintheworldarethespraying.com, another a great tool to try to wake people up.
In fact, we have actually both of those. What in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? We actually have, of course, you don't have a DVD or anything like that, do you?
I don't. I mean, I work directly with Michael.
Maybe we'll have to get you down maybe when we do our next conference and you could give a talk for us. We already have one, but the more talks we have on this subject, the better. Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Eric, who's calling us from Compton, California. I haven't heard from Compton for a long time, but Eric, good to hear from you again. Question or comment?
Real quick comment. You trust me. I'm always listening to you, Dr. Stan.
Okay,
never stop
God bless. Well, I just hadn't heard from you in a long time. Go ahead.
Two quick issues. I've noticed I live in Southern California. I take a certain freeway, and when I'm up there, I can see the mountains pretty clearly. There seems to be a lack of snow this year, Dane, and it's kind of puzzling with as cold as it's been.
That cold you feel was very temporary. Same we felt here. And again, there's another aspect of this that we have not been discussing, and that is the manipulation of the jet stream with the ionosphere heaters. That's HARP installations, High Altitude Auroral Research Project is the acronym. And there appears to be 18 of these facilities around the globe. The cold event that just happened caused record cold along much of the West Coast. It was an incredibly anomalous and really historically unprecedented jet stream. It is absolutely clear they are manipulating the jet stream. When these ionosphere heaters heat the atmosphere, it causes a bulge in the atmosphere, which acts as a pulley for the jet stream. And they can keep that locked in place, keeping cold air pumping down. This jet stream went straight north, straight into central Canada, and straight south, almost northeast to southwest. It's not just unusual, it's wrong. And the Weather Channel meteorologists were trying to explain how this could happen. And, you know, the degree to which they are manipulating things right now is absolutely beyond comprehension. So that cold event is short-lived. It is from jet stream manipulation, which pushes cold air south very temporarily. Watch how fast attempts rebound once this event passes.
Eric, anything else you wanted to ask?
Yeah, this is a little above my IQ levels. I don't want to for him to explain how does that work with the lack of snow. Because the cold spell isn't real, it's not natural.
Well, again, one little cold event's not going to fill the mountains with snow. You know, the moisture in the atmosphere overall, Eric, when you saturate the atmosphere with particulates, you reduce the overall moisture in the atmosphere. When a storm moves in and they artificially nucleate it, which cools the air down, that also diminishes the overall precipitation which falls. So they can take temperatures that were far above freezing, get some snowflakes to fall, but not nearly as much as would have fallen had it been natural cold under natural conditions. The overall moisture goes way down. That's why we have massive protracted drought in the continental U.S., because they are saturating the atmosphere with particulates, and that diminishes and disperses rainfall, period. And on top of that, the planet is getting warmer, period. Warmer planet, less snow, period, even with ice nucleation. And again, this is not about Al Gore or carbon credits. This is about reality.
Apparently, you know, a lot of the Arctic ice cap is melting. The Arctic ice cap is melting, and they're basically even talking, you know, about doing excessive drilling for natural gas and oil up off the north coast of Alaska. Okay, and Eric, anything else you want to ask before we listen?
So that last explanation was very good. I understood that.
Okay,
God bless.
Thanks,
God bless you,
right?
Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Robert, who's calling us from Spokane Valley. Again, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hey, wonderful. How about you folks? You're doing a wonderful job there. I appreciate it very much. And I've got three quick questions here, I guess. The first one is this phenomena occurring in the southern hemisphere as well?
Okay, let's say one question at a time. Is this phenomenon appearing in the southern hemisphere, Dane?
Absolutely, positively. And there are Skywatch groups in Argentina, Chile. These are groups that monitor the aerosol operations. Australia, New Zealand, absolutely, positively, both hemispheres. And it appears to have been going over both poles for probably 5 to 6 decades, Robert.
Okay, next question.
Oh, all right, this is a quickie. Do you have any idea what elevation these aircraft are dispersing this stuff at?
It varies tremendously depending on conditions and weather fronts. We see KC-135 as low as 18,000 feet, sometimes dumping huge swaths, and we see planes flying at commercial heights, which people have identified from GPS tracking to be commercial carriers. Again, I'm not implicating commercial pilots at all. I believe that any operations using a commercial aircraft are remote, GPS controlled, and don't involve any commercial carrier personnel. But we see three-engine jets flying at 40,000 feet, leaving one trail. Well, how does a three-engine jet leave one trail? So, you know, we believe they're part of these programs, Project Cloverleaf. People can look that up online. So we see multiple elevations from very low to very high. Depends on weather conditions and storm conditions and whatever they're trying to accomplish at the time.
Okay, and a telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Robert, did you have another question?
Oh, just a quick comment. Apparently, the instigators of this phenomena deem themselves to be immune to the effects of it, you know, which is kind of amazing in and of itself. So
they are not. In fact, you see, George Bush Sr. just got out of a 2-month stint in the hospital for respiratory issues, you know, and they are not immune to this. And again, the climate feedback loops, which they have triggered, the methane mass expulsion being one, ozone depletion another, they are not immune to what they have done. They are in the same boat we are in. They will sink in the same boat we sink in if these programs continue. So
let me just comment. Those of you who would like to check into this, Jesse Ventura has done some wonderful, wonderful programs. And one of them, of course, was on the underground facilities that are being developed. And certainly he talks at least 100 of them in the United States. I suspect they're all throughout the world. But you can see that's his articles on YouTube. We've studied this. If it were simply Jesse, I'd say, well, I like Jesse, but you know, we'd certainly want to verify it. But we have our good friend, certainly Bob Fletcher, who's actually verified it. He's been into some of these underground facilities. Well, we do know there's a gentleman who had written, he was a PhD, had written a couple of books about the underground facilities that they have. Here they went after him. They destroyed him. They blacklisted him. Last thing I heard, this PhD was washing windows in Arizona. We're not talking about something imaginary. Why would they have all of these massive underground facilities fully stocked with food and water and medical supplies? What are they there for? Well, maybe they know something the rest of us don't know. Anything else, Robert?
Well, apparently they're going to get caught in their own snare, and I guess that's the way it's going to wind up.
Well, I think that many of these people actually believe in themselves, sort of like gods, you know, look what we can do. And they hold the reins of power, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, because, of course, America is the most powerful force in the world today. And we have a parent government, but we have an invisible government controlled by evil and wicked people who would be as God. And I believe that the real God in heaven is not very happy, and I really fear that we're going to find he's going to bring his vengeance upon the people of this country, not because of what they've done, but because what they haven't done, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And we are talking, Robert, about organized evil. Anything else, Robert?
Well, they become victims to the evils they impose.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so much. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dane Wickington. And are you working with these other groups in the Southern Hemisphere that are monitoring this?
We have fairly regular communication. There's groups trying to form even a larger platform, people from UK. So there is a knitting together now of a lot of these separate groups, and I think, again, with people who understand the gravity of this issue, this is not just another issue. If this issue continues, if it is not brought to light and to a halt, not much else matters, Dan.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and certainly I hope you'll include us. We are not going to put all of our time on this, but we think it's an important issue. We've covered it many times before, but I'm certainly happy now to know that you are also on top of this, and we'll try to get you onto all of our other networks and programs. As you know, we have 4-7 networks we do every single week, and some of them have reached large segments of the population, and of course we overlap with other people doing the same thing. But, of course, I like to think that, of course, we have a better grasp of it than everybody else, but I'm sure that's really not true at all. Anyway, we do our best to get people informed, and I think that the people who listen to our programs have a pretty good overview of so many of the things going on. But I think this is something we really need to emphasize, because this is going to affect our health and the health of our children. And we would talk about future generations, but if we don't stop this, there may be very few people in those future generations. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave for our listeners tonight?
Well, you know, I would say your last sentiment is absolutely true. I mean, we are in the sixth great mass extinction on the planet right now. And again, the species extinction rate I mentioned from 1,000 to 10,000 times natural variability. And for those that are digging in with their bunkers and those underground military or government people, the mechanisms they have triggered in which they continue to feed with the spraying have extremely long equilibrium periods, as much as 10 million years based on past events. So I don't think they can store that much food in their bunkers. And again, if these programs are not brought to light to a halt based on all available data, we believe geoengineering to be the greatest and most immediate threat to all that lives, short of nuclear catastrophe. But everyone can help with this, Dan. Everyone can do a tremendous amount of good from their own home computer by finding data, credible articles, a source for more information, find groups, organizations, and individuals that would care if they only knew autism groups, Alzheimer's groups, ADD, ag groups, fishing groups, environmental groups. Send them a flaming arrow. Send them a heads up. Send them a credible message with credible data. Send them a copy of Michael Murphy's film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? He has not copyrighted that. If you buy a copy from your organization or his, you can make other duplicates from that and pass them out. And you know, we all need to carry this torch, because this is the deciding issue. Stratospheric aerosol geoengineering is virtually killing life from top to bottom. So this is something we all need to involve ourselves with and help to bring to light.
And, of course, there are two, actually, films there. What in the World Are They Spraying? And Why in the World Are They Spraying? And, of course, we feature spot, I think, 10 or maybe 15 of one of those two films. We work very closely with Michael. He's done an excellent job. And we just talked to him a couple of days ago. But what in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. This is very real. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, if you'd like to, of course, get those DVDs, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we have a four-tape set on geoengineering. But we also have an excellent DVD on geoengineering. We want you to get the information. We want you to get it out. And, of course, once, as far as I'm concerned, anything that I have produced, you have our permission to replicate. And apparently, Michael Murphy has given your permission to reduplicate his. What in the world are we spraying? Get the information out, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the front lines of an obvious effort to destroy Christian civilization. Well, Dane, we've got about 3 minutes for you to sort of wrap up the program as best you can. Sort of, we've covered a lot of things. Are there other important things that we should be covering?
You know, without going too deep into the rabbit hole, probably not. But I'll stress again why this issue is paramount over so many others, and again, what people can do to help with this effort and what we are trying to do.
Well, one quick question. Why do you think they rationalize? What is their rationale from their point of view as to what they're doing? What do you think their justification for what they're doing is?
You know, this might not fit with a lot of other people's perspectives on this, but I believe the data supports it. The methane issue alone is deciding our collective fate by the day. And even though geoengineering is a causal factor, not a cure, it's what they know how to do. It's what they're heavily invested in. And they, at this point, the spraying has been ramped up to try to slow the progression of that event, which is changing the climate by the day. Now, again, I'm not negating all the other effects you mentioned. I absolutely believe population control and so forth is absolutely a part of this equation. They don't do anything for one goal. But I think they're beginning to realize that they have torpedoed the ship on which they need to stay afloat as well.
Now, but what is the methane, and how will they exploit or benefit from the methane aspect?
Well, they're not benefiting. It's just a consequence, Stan. It's just a consequence. It's something that they did not, that they felt they could keep in the box, and it is not staying in the box. It's. I absolutely do not believe that they felt that they could prevent that from happening, but in fact, it has happened.
And so we really think this increase in the methane is going to have a disastrous effect as far as our atmosphere is concerned?
It already is. And that's not speculation. Again, we have methane satellite data imagery, and it is absolutely horrifically frightening. We're about to post some of that data again on the site. I cover some of that in some of the articles just posted, but that alone is a global game changer on a scale that is blindingly fast. In the next months and year or two, I mean, it is going to completely change our biosphere. It's happening already.
And will this be, how will the methane actually change it? Will it actually make it suddenly, will it change the composition of our air? How will it impact on the average individual?
Right now, Stan, we are on track for something called Venus syndrome. That is not a metaphor. It is a scientific scenario, and we are on that track right now.
The Venus syndrome? Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to get you on one of our other programs to discuss the Venus syndrome. We're out of time. Good night. God bless. Thanks so much for a great program.
You too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest has been Dave Wigginton. He's talking about, of course, how the methane is going to bring us into the Venus syndrome. That's the Venus syndrome, and if you want to know what that is, well, you're just going to have to keep listening to Radio Liberty, because we'll have Dane back to talk about that. Now, if you want to really understand what we're up against, let me suggest to you, at least as far as geoengineering is concerned, the excellent DVD, the talk that Rosalind Peterson gave October 21st last year. It's available on DVD by calling 1-800-544-8927. And Rosalind, one of her friends, give a talk, and then there are all sorts of amazing DVDs. You can actually see these chemtrails and contrails like you've never seen them before. Then, of course, we carry the DVD, What in the World Are They Spraying? Why in the World Are They Spraying? That's two DVDs, both put out by Michael Murphy, and they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-CD set on geoengineering. They all can be gotten. We want you to get the information. We want you to copy everything we have and get it out across America. You have to be like Paul Revere and help us to get this out. Now, the program this evening was excellent with Dane, and we're going to, of course, get him on to all of our programs again because we think his material is vitally, vitally important. So our plea to you is get the information. And if you'd like to get a copy of Dane's talk tonight, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you must understand that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, give us a call. And, of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can take our newsletters. You can get our four best tapes of the month, or CDs of the month, or get our newsletter together. And then, of course, you can simply donate to us. You can advertise with us. Oh, but under any circumstances, get involved. We're on the front lines of this battle. We're under attack medically and economically, and we're under attack from certainly the poisoning of the atmosphere. We're under attack from poisoning of the food. We're under attack from poisoning the forests. They know exactly what they're doing. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the air. They're poisoning our children with vaccinations, and few people care. They're poisoning the forest. They're poisoning the trees. They're even using insecticides that poison the bees, and they are. They're destroying humanity and God's work. And I, of course, you must understand that God is going to intervene. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you have read it, I hope you agree with me that it's well worthwhile. And it has an important message. And if you'd like to get a case of the books, we're trying to get it reprinted. You can get a case of the books for actually $150. You'll get 64 books, which will actually mean that you'll be paying less than $2.40 per book. Then, of course, to defray the cost of shipping, why, we'll be glad to send you a free either 4-CD set or a free DVD, something we produced. And so just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. If you can get a case, it'll help us, but it'll give you a vehicle by which you can actually reach others with the truth, information you're not going to get out through regular channels. We're over a quarter of the way there towards getting the supporters to get the case of the books, and once we certainly have got the number of people we need, why, we'll cut off the offer, and I don't think we'll be doing this again. And Sydney, if you'd like to get a catalog, you'd like to get a free newsletter, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget Roslyn Peterson's DVD, Geoengineering. Don't forget, of course, Betty Martini's DVD on aspartame, how they're poisoning our children, how they're poisoning our food. Sydney, if you want to know how the vaccines, it's a DVD called The Specter Haunting America. The Specter Haunting America. If you want to know how they're poisoning our drinking water, it's called The Hidden Agenda, and it comes with a DVD. It's called my talk on water fluoridation and how we've specifically designed a program to primarily poison blacks. And that's because the hydrofluoric salicylic acid increases the level of lead in the blood of black children 6 times. That's for Dr. Roger Masters' work. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You are in the right place if you have an inquiring mind. If you want to know why, if you ask the question, are you serious? That's what we ask here a lot at the Power Hour. And with sequestration, that's the question a lot of people are asking. They ought to be asking, when are they leaving Washington? How do we get rid of them? And how do we resist? And how do we say not no, but heck no? The ring in our nose is absolutely permanent, it seems like, until we decide to remove that brass ring in our nose. And I don't know how many people have decided to do it. I'd like to know how many people cannot pay their taxes this April because of any number of reasons that the administration has given them to not be able to pay their taxes. I'd like to know how many people less this year are not going to be able to do their fair share of paying for foreign and domestic drones.